How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. I just want to say a few quick words before we go on. I said randomly, you know, I did the whole, you know, I want to be positive stuff, and that still remains true and stuff. And I do want to say, though, that it feels kind of weird talking about sports given everything that's going on. And I do want to say that we are here, we exist, sports are our escape. So we're going to continue to try to be people's escape, and I really appreciate everybody tuning in every day to listen to the dumb stuff that Harrison and I say, and that's what we're going to continue to do. So my heart weeps for everybody dealing with everything that's going on right now. We are going to talk about the Lakers, and we're going to try to entertain you and try to be... Try to provide some light in what seems like a pretty dark situation. So with all that said, I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Make sure you're following the show on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLakers for SeatGeek and Mack Weldon, and Lakers10 for BetDSI.com. And I believe we have a new one, right? It's just Lakers on Bloom.com.
Yes.
So use those promo codes. That was Harrison. Harrison's in a great mood because his job as sports editor at Cal State Fullerton's paper treated you really well today. But other than that, Harrison, how are you holding up?
Love the Daily Titan, man. And I'm doing well. Long day, but can't complain. Just talking about sports.
Yep. All right. So let's go ahead and talk about sports, huh? The way we're going to do this, we turned on the microphone. Harrison had no idea that I was going to say what I just said. He's already pretty white, but he went like a couple shades whiter as soon as I brought up non-basketball.
I'll just be honest. I didn't know where you were going. So that always – like it doesn't matter the subject. If you start talking and it's not something we previously had discussed that you might talk about, I start to panic a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And your panic face is hilarious. So what we're going to do here today – is the Lakers are yet again in a situation where it's a quote-unquote lost season, right, in terms of competition, in terms of what the point of watching a team to do. Like, as far as making the playoffs and hopefully competing consistently, that is pretty much out the window at this point. Wins are still important, though, because they teach players good habits, right?
So if Well, the right kind of wins.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, that. Yeah, when
Right kind of win with this Lakers team is if they win because Lou Williams dropped 35. Other than that, they're all going to be powered by the young guys.
Yep. So what we figured we would talk about, because there isn't much else going on.
Literally no Lakers games from Thursday to Sunday, and a bizarre scheduling quirk after they played like six more games than one of their opponents at some point this season.
I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but it was nice to have
it's been weird. It's been weird not having Lakers basketball or Lakers stuff to write about or Lakers, you know, people to talk to on the internet. Like, everybody's like, it's been weird that there have been no Lakers games.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's been kind of nice. Like, we didn't have to worry about a loss for a couple days.
Thought you were staying positive for this show.
So, you changed. What we're going to talk about, though, is, why Lakers fans should still be happy about what's going on, right? About the Lakers season, why we should be excited to watch. And for me, it comes down to, quite frankly, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, now that wins are not the utmost priority, you can throw any kind of lineup out there. You could see players in positions that you would never have thought seeing them there before. And that's,
I'm ready for point Zubats, personally.
Dude, I all right, how much fun, though, would a lineup of Clarkson, Russell, Lou, Young, and Nance be? Right? Like, just go out there. All right, we're going to play four out, one in. It's a whole
bunch
of shooters.
Would be funny. I don't know that it would be fun, because who knows how that lineup's going to go. But it would at the very least be hilarious to watch those guys, who have probably never played a single possession together in practice before in their life, try and figure things out. And who knows, maybe the opponent would be even more confused and it would work.
You see those guys walking out there. Like, couldn't you see them... You know, in like movies where they have the slow motion walk towards the camera with stuff going on as like a group, you know, and in funny movies,
yeah, and there's
somebody...
explosions going off behind them. Yeah, that it would be them.
In funny movies, like, they usually have one person fall, so you'd have like Nick Young would send a tweet while he's walking out, you know.
No, see, I call that lineup the Suicide Squad, because there's no way that works out well for the Lakers.
What lineup, what crazy, wild lineup would you look forward to watching?
I mean, for me, it always the kind of the foundation of the crazy lineups that I want to see is I just really want to see Larry Nance Jr. and Julius Randle play more together. I don't care if it's a tire fire defensively. The Lakers are a tire fire defensively anyway. Like, how much worse could it realistically be? And I think that the scoring of that lineup could possibly be even more fun, because you have Nance to space the floor a little bit for Randle. Both those guys are versatile, can pump and attack the basket. And then working your way out from them, I'd like to see a little bit of Russell and Clarkson more. And then I guess you throw Ingram in there at the three and just see how it goes. And I guess that's like, we ended up working our way to the stereotypical young guy lineup that everyone wants to see. Mm-hmm. But it starts with that front court of Randle and Nance.
All right, so the next lineup I really want to see out there, just going nuts, is Russell at the point. Basically, all my lineups usually feature Russell, like all the fun lineups.
I mean, anyone who wants the Lakers to win and doesn't just look at his box score assist averages, they should include Russell prominently in their lineups, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would. And then the other thing, too, that I really want to see a lot more of is Russell and Clarkson playing together. The Lakers need to figure that out. They need to see if those guys can play together and...
Yeah, they did. There was no way they had enough data on it last year to know for sure that it didn't work. Now, maybe it won't work, but I think that you have to try it a little bit more.
Why do you think they'd be hesitant? That's a question I get a lot in my mentions, is why would there even be initial hesitation there? I honestly can't really figure a proper solution.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like it would be one thing if it was Luke thought that one of them always needed the ball in their hands. And so that's why you have to bring Clarkson off the bench, because he's not going to be effective without the ball in his hands. But he doesn't have the ball in his hands that much more with the second unit than he would out there with Russell. So and like, he's not as good of a shooter as Young is, but he can still shoot a little bit. It's not like this floor spacing is just going to be completely destroyed if Clarkson is out there. So I think you have to mess around with it a little bit.
Yeah, it comes down to, for me, I don't see anything that Young does demonstrably better than Clarkson.
Other than shoot.
Yeah, but even that, and like...
Honestly, play defense. It started out this year, it was pretty close, but I'd say Young has been better for the most part.
Although, I think even Young has kind of fallen off in that respect.
He's fallen off, but he's still been better overall.
Yeah, but even those two things, to me, they aren't... It's not like you're talking about J.J. Redick playing over Clarkson, right? Yes. Young was shooting incredibly well for the vast majority of the year, right? But even that's kind of tailed off a little bit. He came back down
to... He has definitely fallen back to earth of late.
Yeah, and so I don't see anything that Nick Young does at like a, you know, elite level that Clarkson isn't also capable of playing at. That's at whatever level Young is capable of playing at. You know, and because of that too, the other thing, look, they just gave Jordan Clarkson, what was it, $54 million? or 52 or 54.
I can't believe you just asked me to like cite this live on air. Keep looking.
It doesn't matter. But they just gave him a bunch of money, right? And you got to find out what you have when you hand somebody a whole bunch of money. And the number one thing that you need to figure out with Clarkson,
4 years around $48 million.
Wow, I'm usually way closer than that. But
yeah,
they you know, the number one thing that you're worried about with Jordan Clarkson is that. Can he play with D'Angelo Russell? That's the number – your foundation so far. You know it's not going to be a problem that he'll play with Brandon Ingram. There's nothing to worry about there, right? There's similarly not as much to worry about with Julius Randle. And if people want to call Zubats a part of the young core, then we can go there. But with Russell, there is a question to answer there. And for me, that they even hesitated as far as, you know, waiting so long to figure it out, that's the number one criticism, I would say, of Luke Walton's tenure. And it's short.
Yeah, I think that's probably it, other than maybe his over-reliance on Williams, which even that's more excusable given how well Williams has been playing.
Yeah, yeah. So, the next thing, I was going to give another lineup. All right. So I want Russell. I want Clarkson. I want Ingram. I want Zubats. And I want Nance. That's the one you said already, right?
I think I had Zubats replaced with Randle.
So you have, yours was
Randle, Nance, Ingram, Clarkson, Russell.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see the Zubats Nance one, and it's largely in part of
they look good together the other night.
Well, they seem to be genuine friends based on the stuff that you hear coming out of either Nance.
It's obvious when you're in the locker room. It's definitely like a friendly, like big brother little brother type thing.
How much older is Nance than Zubats? He's like 2 years older, right?
I think like 5 years older.
Oh crap, yeah, you're
wait,
right.
How old is Nance? Is he 24?
I'd say he's 22, 23, right?
22, 12, okay, so like 4 years older.
Yeah, so it is. Yeah, they need like a buddy cop show.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'd put Nance on a buddy cop show with anyone on the Lakers.
Who would be the oddest pairing then? Would it be Lou?
No, I think you know what actually, and as I look it up, Larry Nance is 24 years old, so he's 5 years older than Zubats, and I would very much like to see a Nick Young Meta World Peace buddy cop show. I think.
Yeah, the difference there is that they're veterans and
with maybe like Lou in there just to look exasperated at the stuff that they got into.
Lou's the veteran captain that's like tasked with keeping those guys in check.
Yeah, Lou's like the guy. Lou's like the I'm too old for this shit guy.
All right, CBS, NBC, we just gave you $1 billion. No, Time Warner, you guys are Spectrum. You guys just got $1 billion ideal TV idea.
Yeah, and I think we just got avoidance of a fine or whatever because I think we're allowed to drop one curse word per podcast. Yeah, so I think that's it. So be careful the rest of the time.
Man, no. So next thing that Laker fans have to look forward to moving on this season, right? So we talked about the weird lineups, the kooky lineups, things that, you know, that can definitely happen and whatever is.
Well, so before we move on from the lineups thing, can I just throw something out there? So I think that one thing that Lakers fans should be looking for as we move on and should maybe be excited about is that Luol Deng might still be a little bit effective at the four. Like, he might not be a total lost cause and disaster for the Lakers. When I was looking at stuff to talk with Anthony about this, I looked up five-man lineups that have played over 20 minutes a game, because that's about like, or 20 minutes total, and that if you look at the top three by net rating, Deng is playing the four in all three of them. And so the Lakers may still be able to get something out of him at that position, which I guess isn't great given the kind of the log jam they have in the front court already. But it at least means that he's not completely useless.
Yeah. Yeah. the contracts, we talked about the contracts last show and whatever, but yeah, the you
have
we
were to starting
try
to get ne- this is starting. I know that kind of trended a little negative, but I swear it was meant as a positive. Like, you should be looking for maybe some more dang at the four for the Lakers to have him be a little bit effective and just not look like the worst contract in the NBA right now.
Can we also try a Zubats Mozgov like Twin Towers kind of thing?
I mean, sure. I don't think it'll work that well, but no, it would be fun.
I would love to
watch Zubac
that.
Says he can shoot three, so maybe they just space him out there in the corner and just let him rain on defenses that disrespect him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Lakers' history of big man tandems, right? And you know, you have
New Gasol Bynum.
Yeah, Powell Bynum, Mozgov, Zubac. It's the same thing. So, yeah, those are the things that I'd like to look forward to. The other thing that I was going to say to look forward to, and this is one of those, you know, subjects that it's kind of tough to bring up because you're talking about guys, like, having to uproot themselves, but potential personnel changes is kind of fun for me, right? We're all Twitter GMs. We all play fantasy basketball, whatever it is. And because of we play 2K and we enjoy doing the trades there. So the transaction has replaced the action as far as what people look forward to and talk about most when it comes to professional sports. And for guys like Nick Young, for guys like Lou Williams, I think Nick deserves a ton of credit for turning around his image out here in LA. I think Lou deserves a ton of credit. He's been, I would probably say, the most underrated Laker this year.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you look at performance versus how many headlines he draws, or how, and some of this is on us as guys who write, but and like how much fans pay attention to him or whatever, or how much hate he gets from certain sects of the fandom,
yeah,
you know, I just don't, yeah, it's not even a question to me that he's been the most underrated Laker.
And so because of that, like, I would say for both those guys, they've made the best of a potentially bad situation, right? Especially Nick
yeah.
Young.
You can't say that the Lakers haven't wrung every ounce of potential trade value from them. Yeah. Like, as far as just, like, putting it out there and making them look like valuable chips. Now, whether or not they end up cashing those chips in is another question. But they've definitely made them look like $100 ones instead of, like, you know, like $50 ones in Lou's case going into the year, and like a deficit going into the year with Young.
Yeah. All right. So if somebody had a gun to your head and asked you,
well, this
do you
just
think
got real threatening?
I always like writing that and then saying, you know, now please remove this gun from my head. but. If you had a gun to your head and somebody asked you, those guys are going to be on the Lakers past the deadline, life is in your hands, you have to get this question right, how do you answer? And it's an odd situation to be in, that your life would hinder on whether or not the Lakers trade.
Yeah, you got me scared, man. I'm glad we're not recording this in the same room, or I'd take it as a threat. But I think I'd say no, I don't think they get moved.
You don't – okay, so you technically answered the question incorrectly, but that works.
Did I definitely answer the question incorrectly?
Yeah, because I asked if they were going to be Lakers past the deadline, I believe.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm saying they will still be on the Lakers past the deadline.
Yeah. All right, so –
although hopefully that guy gave me a chance to explain it. This theoretical person that broke into my house and is threatening me over Nick Young and Lou Williams trades.
And now he just left. Like, he didn't even take anything. He's like, I need to know this question.
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm moving.
I could just see you two, like, in this hypothetical, this crazy hypothetical situation, you giving your answer and then him saying that, okay, yeah, so you think they get moved. You having – no, bring the gun back. I got to explain this really quick. all right. So that – I'll go the other way. Let's figure out a bet. Let's figure out some kind of bet that we can make. I think that they aren't going to be Lakers past the deadline.
Well, okay. So for the bet to work, do both of them have to still be on the team or just one?
Just one. Just one.
Okay. So just one is a push or one is you win?
No, I think one is I win, because we're saying, are both those guys going to be on the rosters? And if somebody gets moved,
okay, yeah. This is great radio. Let's bet a Twitter fine on it.
All right, we'll bet a Twitter fine. Everybody, you guys are witnesses. We are going to. I'm probably going to have to tweet something really dumb.
Neither of us have said the former coach's name in a while without amnesty. So yeah. You guys could get another fun, horrible take that gets Anthony blocked by another Lakers player.
It's good that you brought him up, though. I want getting blocked. It's good that you brought that former coach up. And he talked about Russell, and really nobody should care about what he's saying about the Lakers anymore. But last year, the difference between this year and last year was I was frustrated knowing that there was no way that the Lakers would be able to toy with lineups and do weird, crazy things. This year, it's at least a possibility. It's at least a possibility we're going to see some crazy, weird, fun stuff to finish.
Yeah, no, the thing that I was actually talking about this with someone today, and the mistake that the Lakers made last year was by not coach-proofing their roster. You know, it's like you compare it almost to baby-proofing your house. You know, you don't want – you put the little plastic things in your electrical sockets. You put up baby gates. Like, you don't want to put them in situations where they can get themselves in trouble. Mm-hmm. And with the former coach, the mistake they made was not veteran-proofing the roster. Yeah, and like forcing him to – they're like, oh, you know, part of it was that he didn't play Tarik Black enough, or that he didn't play this guy enough or that guy enough. It's like, well, you shouldn't have given him Brandon Bass and Lou Williams. That's on you, honestly. You know, you guys traded for Roy Hibbert and didn't, you know, buy him out at the deadline or something. Like that's on you.
Mitch calls Brandon into his office.
Brandon, you look like you're limping a little bit.
No, Mitch, I'm perfectly fine. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, you look. Are you sick?
You mean Bass?
Yeah. No,
I
like
this was hypothetical Mitch threatening Brandon Ingram. Now all of a sudden, I was like, man, this is a double threat podcast for Anthony.
No, where he calls him in and he tries to explain to him, like, all right, we need you to get sick. We need you to pull a hammy so that you can't be played by our dumb coach.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. So this was one of our shorter podcasts. There wasn't much going on with a deficit in Laker games.
Well, hold on. Before we go, what is the one thing that you'd say you're most excited to see from like any player on the roster, but lineups aside, all that stuff aside, just like one guy, what are you most excited to see going into the end of the season, the second half of the season? We're into the second half of the season, the final bit after the All-Star break.
Well, I know you're going to bring up Zubac, so I'm not going to bring him up. I want to see Brandon Ingram in FU mode. Where I want to see Brandon Ingram, there was that stretch where he was attacking everybody's top shoulder. He was playing, he was taking the physicality to two defenses. He looked really confident out there. Anytime there was a small guy on him, he would put that person in the post immediately and demand the ball. I want to see him go out there, and I want him to, you know, play like the potential superstar that people thought he could be for a little while, right? And yeah, with this next, what do they have left? 30 something games?
Something like that, yeah.
If they, you know, over these next 30 games, I'd like to see Ingram. I want to see the complaint from fans that Ingram is shooting too much.
Yeah, they have 32 games left.
Yeah, I want to see you know, fans complaining that, God, I wish Ingram played a little less selfish. You know,
I love that you're already like predicting complaints rather than people being happy about this.
Experience teaches. So, yeah, that's the guy I'm looking forward to. How about you?
I actually wasn't going to say Zubac, which I know is going to come as a surprise to you because you are intent on making the listeners of our show think that I'm like stalking him or something. But it was actually Russell. I just want to see him come back. And, you know, I guess it sounds like the Lakers might bring him back on Tuesday. He's listed as questionable. I honestly think that they should just like really take it easy with him through the All-Star break. Let him kind of fix up a little bit as much as possible, and then see if that he can get kind of going down that stretch of the season afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think
because Lakers... I just Russell is the member of the core besides Zubac that I'm most high on. And that was sarcasm for those of you that are on.
But it was sarcasm, he says, while wearing a Zubac jersey.
Okay. That's not relevant. But No, I think Russell, his combination of shooting, ability to move off the ball, ability to play on the ball, and it's just clear his how good of a passer he could be if he were able to kind of find the right balance between scoring and passing and just cut down on the stupid little turnovers. And like all young players have those. And so it's not like an excuse. It's just an explanation. And mm-hmm. so you would hope that he gets better with those as time goes on. But I just really, I think that fans should really look for him or hope that he kills it down the stretch of this season.
Yeah, I think what'll be a good reflection. Now, if the Lakers draft somebody, you know, if they keep their pick, then the summer league is going to be lit anyway, right? Like people are going to be really excited to go see the potential top three pick. But I would like the Lakers to go out and prove themselves over the last 30 or so, 32 games, like you said, and make it so when we go to when we you know go to Vegas and we're there for a week, there's the same kind of buzz that we felt this past year.
Right? I have a feeling you're going to be feeling the buzz regardless of who's on the team.
Oh yeah. I love Vegas. So, anywho, those are the things that we're looking forward to for the rest of the season. There is plenty of reason for Laker fans to watch. I know that the season hasn't gone in anywhere near the direction that people might have wanted it to, but there is plenty of reason to still be excited about this team. And really, if we were realistic from start to finish of this year anyway with our expectations, then, you know, we'd kind of be sitting here right now and saying, yeah, this seems about right with with the way this year has gone. So, weird lineups, kids to watch. I'd like to see, like, Luke should change up his suit game. Like, he should just go, like, just wear all kinds of crazy suits to...
Just wear Laker-colored suits.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. Bright yellow suits, sure. We'll go with that. That's our final thing to watch for.
Did you ever see the one game, it was a few years ago, Rick Pitino wore a white suit and sweat through it?
No, but that's amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty great. I don't know if it was, it might have been Bruce Pearl. It was either Bruce Pearl or Rick Pitino. They wore a white suit and they sweat all the way through it.
No idea how you get those two mixed up, but sure.
All right. That does it for this one. Again, thank you everybody for listening. Quick shout out. I've been out. There's a bar down the street from us that Jen and I will go to every so often to play a little pool. Shouts to Squires down there in La Habra. And this guy, Mike, walked up and said he's a fan of the show. That makes our day. Jen was smiling ear to ear. Harrison, you've had this happen to you a couple times in L.A. It happened the very next night. I was out in Long Beach, and somebody bought me a shot of Fireball that I definitely did not need that night, but I greatly appreciated it. And you guys are why we do this. The love that we've kind of felt over, you know, the time of running our show has been really cool. So thanks everybody for listening.
Your promo at the end of the show was buy me alcohol, I guess.
I mean,
use the promo code Anthony has a problem.
Yes. And that's not untrue either. We'll talk to everybody again tomorrow. This was a Monday show. Enjoy. Do the Lakers finally play tomorrow?
Play on Tuesday.
Holy cow.
So tomorrow, by the time people are listening to this,
we're going to have another show. We're just going to have to play back the Monday show again then.
No, we'll think of something better than that, I'm sure.
Yeah. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow. Have a good one. Love each other.